Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit nfl.com/schedule-release to learn more.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
Our story moves from the gaudy lobby of New York's Trump Tower to the elegant 177-year-old Bar-Lac Hotel. Located on the banks of Lake Zurich in Switzerland, the 5-star Bar-Lac Hotel is the type of place you walk in and immediately stand up a little straighter. You can expect to find businessmen in handcrafted suits alongside exquisite women wearing the latest fashion from Paris and Milan. With its manicured private gardens along Lake Zurich, a lobby adorned not just with art, but with 19th century European tapestries, its rooms can run into the thousands of dollars a night. It is as much a hotel as it is a parade of wealth, power, and privilege. Another important fact? The Bar-Lac is the place FIFA executives stay when they're in town visiting the organization's headquarters. Just a short 10-minute or so drive from the hotel, you'll find FIFA House, as the headquarters is called. It couldn't be more different than the ritzy Bar-Lac Hotel. A modern steel and glass structure, FIFA House is a fortress. It was built two-thirds underground, almost as if FIFA meant it to be impenetrable, almost as if FIFA had something to hide. The headquarters was built on the watch of longtime FIFA president Sepp Blatter, who liked to say, and I quote, "Places where people make decisions should only contain indirect light." So why have I taken you on this architectural tour of Zurich? Because this is where that 2010 meeting between Chuck Blazer and agents from the FBI and the IRS would lead us. I'm Connor Powell. This is Episode 2, The Raid. On the morning of May 27th, 2015, just as the sun was coming up over Zurich, soccer's most powerful men were gathered in the Bar-Lac Hotel for a meeting later that day at FIFA House. Unbeknownst to them, two New York Times reporters had taken up seats in the hotel's lobby, tipped off that something big was about to go down.
We told the gentleman behind the front desk that we were there for a breakfast meeting and would it be all right if we waited? And he said, sure.
That's Sam Borden, a longtime sports journalist, now with ESPN. Sam doesn't normally wear a suit, but he told me he decided that spring morning he should. The Borlaug, he thought, was the type of place where men waiting in the lobby should look the part. Borden and investigative reporter Michael Schmidt were there on assignment for the New York Times. They knew something important was about to happen, something that would rock the cloistered world of international soccer. Then it began.
And about 6 a.m., all of a sudden, a group of a dozen, maybe 18 men walk into the lobby. It became very clear that something was going to happen.
Wearing jeans, dark sweatshirts, and sneakers, this pedestrian mix of Swiss police and American FBI agents couldn't have looked more out of place. And yet, the hotel was now firmly in their control.
They go to the front desk and they show a whole bunch of paperwork to the gentleman behind the front desk. Presumably, these are arrest warrants. And obviously, at this point, there's sort of a commotion in the lobby because there's like one, maybe two people working this early morning shift for the hotel. And now all of a sudden, there's several dozen police officials in the lobby.
Schmidt sent a tweet to his thousands of followers. It read,
Swiss law enforcement getting room numbers for FIFA executives. They are heading upstairs to arrest.
Schmidt and Borden were recording the initial moments of the most significant corruption takedown in international sports history. And yet it was a surprisingly civilized affair.
I'm sitting there and I'm just watching the elevator, looking to see, okay, when an elevator leaves the lobby, I'll be able to tell what floor it goes to by looking at the numbers above the doors. And at some point, the elevator starts moving and I see that it's going to, I think it was either the third or the fourth floor. So I go up to the third or the fourth floor and I follow several police officials as they go down the hall, you know, from a distance, but follow them and they knock on the door. I was sort of expecting it to be like something you would see from a movie where these guys would be like in, you know, uniforms and, you know, riot gear and carrying like big guns and just sort of kick the door in. And it was not like that at all. I remember thinking in the moment that if you were sleeping in the room next door, I don't know that you would have been woken up.
Sam Borden went on to describe the raid in a way I've never heard a police raid described.
It was very pleasant.
As pleasant as law enforcement's demeanor might have been, it was a rude awakening for the seven FIFA officials whose hotel doors received those polite knocks. These lords of soccer had entered the Borlaug Hotel expecting to enjoy the protections that come with great privilege. Now they were being marched out in the harsh morning light, indicted criminals using whatever they could to shield themselves from the public's glare.
We saw several of those FIFA officials led from the hotel. I think it was the hotel staff trying to protect their appearance, if not their dignity, with white hotel sheets.
Word of the dawn raid spread quickly around the world as newspapers, TV stations, and social media reported the arrests.
Major corruption crackdown going down right now. Arrests made around the world.
This morning was like something out of a crime thriller.
High-ranking officials from FIFA, the sport's governing body, arrested in an overnight raid in Switzerland, the result of a sweeping FBI investigation.
The U.S. Justice Department accuses them of corruption and bribe-taking involving tens of millions of dollars.
The raid was the culmination of a U.S. federal case years in the making, an investigation that had largely stalled until the IRS flipped Chuck Blazer that fateful November day outside Trump Tower in Manhattan. The allegations hardly came as a surprise to longtime FIFA critics, but the fact that it was breaking out in the open was, in a word, shocking. FIFA had operated with impunity for decades, and yet, as significant as these arrests were, the scope of the scandal was only just coming into focus. Now, you might ask yourself, Why did it take so long to do something about FIFA and its corrupt leadership? Part of the answer is in how absolutely huge soccer is as a sport, and how important it is to the leaders of FIFA's member nations. The same leaders who are vying to host big tournaments like the World Cup are the ones who would have to take enforcement action against FIFA. Let me try to offer some perspective.
Here is the planet's ultimate game.
Soccer is a popular game. If you live in the United States, it's hard to gauge just how popular it is. Some fans describe it as a religion, or at least as important as religion. And they're not kidding. Here's a comparison. About 103 million people watched the Super Bowl in 2018. That same year, some 3.5 billion people, if you can believe it, watched the World Cup tournament. With more than a billion alone tuning in for the final match between Croatia and France.
It will be some can-can on the Champs-Élysées tonight. France are the champions of the world.
While it's possible you weren't one of them, it's likely you know someone who did, especially if you know someone who lives in Europe, Asia, South America, or Africa. Pretty much the entire rest of the world where soccer is king. Imagine then the power one has to oversee a sport of that magnitude. As you already know, FIFA runs the World Cup, along with a host of other related tournaments. But the organization thinks of itself as something more, almost divine.
At FIFA, it's our responsibility to develop the game for future generations and to protect its integrity.
That's part of FIFA's mission statement from a few years ago. You can find it on their website, and it's, well, absolutely absurd.
Football is the heart and soul of FIFA.
It's debatable whether soccer, the game, or the lessons it imparts are even a top priority. Money, and the making of money, and the finding ways to stuff that money into offshore bank accounts, that seems to be far more important for soccer's ruling elite. And here's how the FIFA machine is structured. FIFA governs the sport internationally and organizes the men's and women's World Cup tournaments, which are held every 4 years. FIFA hosts several smaller tournaments as well. Collectively, they bring in more than $4 billion in revenue. Pretty good money for an organization that doesn't run any leagues, just a few tournaments every couple of years. FIFA is, for the most part, an association of countries. There are currently 211 members, which means FIFA is actually larger than the United Nations. Because while a country like the United Kingdom is part of the UN, Wales, England, and Scotland are all separate members of FIFA.
And each has one vote in our democratic system.
FIFA is separated into six regional confederations, each with its own staggering history of corruption. But most of our story will focus on the big three. UEFA, the European Confederation, CONCACAF, the North American one, and CONMEBOL, South America's umbrella organization.
As the guardians of the global game, it is our duty to serve the world of football.
At the top of FIFA is the president and the executive committee. These are really the lords of soccer, several of whom in 2015 were arrested at the Borlaug Hotel. In theory, they set the vision and craft the strategy for FIFA and the global soccer community. In reality, for the most part, they treat the sport like their own personal fiefdoms, and FIFA like their own private piggy bank. And on the long list of crooked soccer officials, Jack Warner is a standout. He's the former president of CONCACAF and buddy to Chuck Blazer. He also sent that email to Blazer you heard about in episode 1 that caused Blazer's meltdown. For years, Warner was one of the sport's most powerful executives and its most corrupt. Warner's story is almost unbelievable. And it serves as an illustration of what FIFA really was and how business really got done.
Do Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
The honor guard snapped to attention as the frail South African anti-apartheid leader exited the Gulfstream jet. It was the spring of 2004, and Nelson Mandela was unwell. He struggled to walk down the plane's short staircase and then across the tarmac to where a small podium was waiting. Mandela, the Nobel Prize-winning activist, managed only a few words, but the excited crowd of politicians and locals didn't seem to care as they yelled out his nickname, Madiba, Madiba. At 85 years old, Mandela was exhausted. He hadn't slept on the 24-hour flight from South Africa to Trinidad and Tobago. He really didn't want to be there. But his country needed him once again. And for Jack Warner, FIFA's powerful vice president, that was leverage.
Now, at this time, Mandela hadn't been traveling anywhere under doctor's orders, but Warner insisted. So South Africa, for the sake of the World Cup bid, essentially had Mandela defy doctors to make the trip across the ocean to Trinidad.
That's journalist Lasana Liebert, who's been reporting on CONCACAF for more than a decade. South Africa was on the cusp of winning the right to host the 2010 World Cup, the first African nation to do so.
4 years earlier, South Africa had been the bookmakers' favorites to win the 2006 World Cup bid. After losing out unexpectedly, the pressure was on their leaders to deliver.
Mandela's visit to Trinidad and Tobago was seen as key to securing Jack Warner's all-important support. He was just one of 24 voters, but Warner was known as a kingmaker within FIFA. If Mandela could woo the cagey FIFA executive, South Africa would be one very crucial step closer to hosting the 2010 World Cup. It was far from a done deal. As a member of FIFA's executive committee, Warner had already been to Morocco and Egypt. Warner, along with Chuck Blazer, and other FIFA executives had been wined, dined, and nearly bribed. In Marrakesh, they were given fine china, handmade rugs, and offered $1 million for their votes. While in Cairo, Warner asked for $7 million from the Egyptians. They turned him down. Instead, the Egyptians organized a 50-car motorcade to the pyramids of Giza, where the 4,000-year-old Sphinx was wired with speakers and announced,
"I have waited thousands of years to host the FIFA World Cup."
The stunts didn't work, and here's why. Warner was an ambitious politician. He saw an opportunity at home that went beyond money. Bringing the legendary Mandela to Trinidad and Tobago would bolster Warner politically in a way money couldn't. It also illustrated the extent of his power. In FIFA's world, if Warner said jump, even South Africa's most famous son was forced to say how high. South Africa's gamble appeared to have worked once the votes were counted.
The 2010 FIFA World Cup will be organized in South Africa.
It was South Africa's moment. The country, indeed the continent, was at the center of the world, a nation in ecstasy. Everyone said it was Mandela magic that bagged them the tournament.
To the outside world, it seemed as if Mandela's charm, personal determination, and strength of character had won over Warner, who, along with Blazer, helped secure South Africa's victory. But after investigators raided the Borolak Hotel in May of 2015, an entirely different, darker story emerged.
It's the $10 million question. Was this historic moment the result of a $10 million bribe?
A defining moment in football. The 2010 World Cup on African soil for the first time and attended by Nelson Mandela, the former president synonymous with the end of apartheid in South Africa. Now its legacy is at risk. US prosecutors allege South African football officials paid a $10 million bribe to secure the rights to host the tournament.
Warner wasn't moved by Mandela. Warner was bribed.
It's emerged the money was first transferred to FIFA in Switzerland, then to Trinidadian and former FIFA vice president Jack Warner.
The FBI says they tried to disguise the bribe.
South African officials insisted the payment made to FIFA was above board and was supposed to support the development of soccer among the African diaspora in the Caribbean. Here's the South African sports minister at the time.
The fact that a payment of 10 million rands, US dollars, was made to an approved program above board does not equate to bribery.
But the money, accepted by FIFA and then approved for payment by its General Secretary Jerome Valk, wasn't paid to CONCACAF or any other legitimate soccer organization in the Caribbean. Instead, it was paid directly to Jack Warner. Here again is journalist Lasana Liebert.
Warner didn't make a habit of leveraging his position for the benefit of Caribbean football or Trinidad and Tobago football as much as he tried to paint that picture. As we see now, particularly with the investigations within the US, he leveraged his position to suit himself financially.
Here's the BBC confronting Jack Warner, trying to get to the bottom of the bribery scandal.
Can you tell us where the $10 million went, Mr. Warner, where did the $10 million go to? Can you tell us one project, Mr. Warner?
When confronted, Warner couldn't account for the money. But journalists later uncovered documents that showed FIFA's payments went straight into accounts controlled by Warner in Trinidad and Tobago.
Nearly $5 million came through here, and there's not a football pitch in sight.
Once it was paid to Warner, the money just disappeared. This type of brazen bribery was common, and not only with Warner, but throughout FIFA.
Our problems here always went well beyond Jack Warner. And in fact, I would say that the corruption that we saw with Jack Warner was really only a symptom. It was always stage handled in Zurich. It was set up for him to profit off of, because that's all we are to FIFA, really. Just votes.
The votes Liebert refers to are, of course, for World Cup bids. Jack Warner left FIFA in disgrace in 2011, kicked out, as you heard in the previous episode, for trying to fix the presidential election in favor of Mohammed bin Hammam. But But Warner's exit didn't change much. In fact, his successor at CONCACAF, Jeffrey Webb, tried as hard as he could to replicate Warner's predatory ways.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
It's January 2014 in Dakar, Senegal. As CONCACAF's new president strides to the podium, he radiates stylish sophistication. With perfectly tailored suits and a designer watch collection, Jeffrey Webb didn't just shine in a room, he commanded it. On this night, he was getting honored by the United Nations for his work to raise awareness about HIV/AIDS, just one of the many initiatives he had launched when he took control of CONCACAF, the North American Soccer Confederation.
I have the mindset that, you know what, the game can impact society.
That's Webb. But it was Webb's dual promise of confronting racism in soccer.
We are not going to rid racism from our society, but we must rid it from our game.
And of cleaning up corruption.
We must move the clouds and allow the sunshine in. It's a new day for CONCACAF.
That added gravitas and legitimacy to his debonair appearance. Long before Webb became the head of CONCACAF and a FIFA vice president, he was appointed to its internal audit committee, where he had defended Sepp Blatter against rumors of corruption in 2002. Webb built a reputation as a reformer and was even talked about as a successor to Blatter. By the time he took over CONCACAF in 2012, the Cayman Island native embodied the style and substance that so many FIFA officials before him had only pretended to represent. Even with his $2 million a year CONCACAF salary, frequent use of private jets, and love of nightlife, Webb appeared to be exactly what soccer needed after Jack Warner and Chuck Blazer's scandalous tenure. But not everyone saw Webb as a savior of global soccer. Certainly not José Avila. Avila was one of soccer's most important dealmakers, and the owner of the sports marketing firm Traffic Group.
José Ávila got his start as a sports announcer covering Brazilian soccer in the 1970s. He built a small media empire with TV stations and newspapers, then went into sports marketing. Traffic Group came to dominate the lucrative contracts with FIFA's American and Latin American football confederations.
When the man known as the boss of Brazilian football first met Jeffrey Webb in London in 2012, all the sports marketing mogul saw was another crooked FIFA official, albeit a well-dressed one. If Ávila wanted access to CONCACAF's lucrative regional tournaments, Webb demanded he pay him a jaw-dropping 25% on every deal he made. Even by FIFA's greedy standards, it was a stunning request. Ávila had been paying bribes for more than 20 years. He knew he'd have to pay one. He just hoped to talk Webb down a little bit. A few months later, after their initial London meeting, Avila's firm wired $1 million to Webb. The hands in the cookie jar might have changed, but they were as greedy as ever. After his meeting with the FBI and IRS agents outside of Trump Tower in 2011, Chuck Blazer, Warner's right-hand man turned FBI informant, was asked to do what pretty much every government snitch is asked to do at some point. Wear a wire. Blazer had already outlined FIFA's shady inner workings for the FBI, mapping out years of corruption. He not only connected the dots, Blazer showed federal agents how soccer's system of illegal payments were made and who made them. Now, the FBI wanted Blazer to record his conversations with dodgy soccer officials. But there was just one problem. Blazer was physically too big to wear a wire. When he moved, the wire disconnected, and his sweat threatened to short-circuit the listening device. I swear I'm not making this up. The FBI instead came up with another plan and inserted a microphone inside a small key fob. The idea was he would place his keys on the table during a conversation. Blazer hated the idea. I mean, he really loathed it. He argued and fought with his FBI handlers. He insisted it was beneath a man of his importance and taste to toss keys on a table. Which, considering the types of places he frequented, expensive New York steakhouses and Michelin star type restaurants, it wasn't exactly wrong. And yet, as Blazer sat down at a table in a five-star restaurant in London in the closing days of the 2012 Summer Olympics with José Ávila, the same man Jeffrey Webb would later squeeze, there the key fob sat, waiting for the two crooks to talk. Ávila had been at the center of soccer corruption ever since he founded his sports marketing company, Traffic Group. The Brazilian mogul started paying bribes in the late 80s and never stopped, regularly doling out cash to win the rights to organize some of FIFA's premier events, including CONCACAF's Gold Cup tournament and CONMEBOL's Copa America.
Advertisers and broadcasters who wanted deals with the coveted Copa America and Copa do Brasil tournaments had to go through Traffic because they had exclusive marketing rights.
That's from a CNN investigation, by the way. Among the many FIFA officials Ávila bribed were Jack Warner and Chuck Blazer. At first, the bribes were relatively small, a few $100,000. But as the advertising revenue grew, so did the payoffs.
By 2013, Ávila and co-conspirators had agreed to pay $100 million in bribes for a Copa America contract spread among 11 different FIFA officials.
As Blazer and Ávila sat chatting that summer day in 2012, Blazer pressed Ávila to talk about a $600,000 payment the Brazilian had made to Blazer back in 2003. Blazer had requested the money years earlier as a loan. It was the type of loan both men knew would never get paid back. As they sat there in London talking, the fob recorded every word. Ávila said he couldn't remember the payment. He stalled, suspicious maybe, but he promised Blazer he would look into it. The Brazilian had avoided implicating himself for now. But Blazer had told the FBI all about how Avila operated, and now the feds were tracking the mogul's every move. So who is Jose Avila? At 69 years old, Avila had built a fortune buying and selling the rights to broadcast soccer games. He had almost sold his stake in Traffic Group. But when the 2008 financial crisis hit, his $280 million payday just disappeared overnight. Now, 5 years later, he was once again ready to get out. Sports marketing was getting more competitive and the payoffs were getting larger and more difficult to facilitate. Avila didn't want the hassle anymore. He had already made a ton of money, more than he knew what to do with.
Welcome to Miami.
In May of 2013, the Brazilian businessman arrived in Miami, hoping to add a 4,000-square-foot beachside home to his already impressive stable of properties. Then his hotel phone rang, and the front desk asked him to come down to the lobby. Avila was surprised. It was 6 in the morning. What came next terrified him. In the lobby was an FBI agent. Jared Randall introduced himself and asked if Avila had ever tried to bribe soccer officials. Then Agent Randall listed off several names: Nicholas Leoz, Ricardo Teixeira, and Chuck Blazer. Stunned, Avila pleaded ignorance. After a short conversation, Randall thanked him and left. Avila had just lied to the FBI, and the FBI knew it. Chuck Blazer had provided federal investigators with documents and receipts of wire transfers detailing hundreds of thousands of dollars in bribes he'd received from Avila and Traffic Group. Now, this is another key moment in the 2015 FIFA case that led to the raid at the Borillac.
There was a whole group of people that paid bribes. There's a whole group of people that assisted and facilitated the movement of those bribes. And then there's a whole bunch of people that accepted those bribes.
That's former IRS Special Agent Amy Chabillion, pointing out that bribery in the 21st century requires a lot of people to facilitate illegal payments, particularly bribes paid by wire transfer, which is how many of FIFA's illegal payments were made.
Even though they originate, let's say, from Switzerland and they end up in Uruguay, they still have to come through the U.S.
The U.S. financial system is the foundation of global finance. Just about every payment made in the world touches an American bank, which means the U.S. government has jurisdiction in just about every case of financial corruption. So if you ever wondered how the FBI and the IRS got involved in a global soccer bribery scandal, well, it's because the crooks at FIFA use the U.S. system to make their payments, giving the Department of Justice jurisdiction. And once Jose Avila lied to FBI agent Jared Randall that early morning in Miami, the FBI had all it needed to arrest him. A few days later, the FBI did just that. Not surprisingly, the multimillionaire who spent his life frolicking among the rich and famous chose to flip just like Chuck Blazer, rather than risk spending the rest of his life in a U.S. prison. After his arrest, Avila took up residence in an apartment in New York City as he worked with investigators. FIFA's corruption, the most well-known secret in global sports, would soon be printed in black and white and held up by America's Attorney General for the whole world to see.
They were expected to uphold the rules that keep soccer honest and to protect the integrity of the game. Instead, they corrupted the business of worldwide soccer to serve their interests and to enrich themselves.
You'll hear that and more in the next episode of The Lords of Soccer. The Lords of Soccer, How FIFA Stole the Beautiful Game, is an Inside Voices Media production in conjunction with iHeartRadio. The series was written and executive produced by Gary Scott and me, Connor Powell. Logan Heftel and Katie McMurrin provided the sound design with assistance from JC Swadek and Jake Bluenote. Alec Cowan is our associate producer, and Jeffrey Katz was our story editor. Our fact checker is Alexa O'Brien. And thanks to Miles Gray, who produced this series for iHeartRadio. If you have any comments or questions, please reach out. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Connor M. Powell. And Gary is at Gary Robert Scott. And if you have any stories about FIFA, let us know. If you like what you hear, please give us a shout out at the hashtag Lords of Soccer.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.